Now, mother and daughter team Jackie Anderson and Kira Wilde have written a book together about the victims of Jack the Ripper. Here to tell us about Myth, Monster, Murderer, welcome to the show, Jackie Anderson.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi there. So first of all, you're the mum of the team and you're a writer and Kira is a forensic psychologist, is that right?
That is true, yes.
Wow, what a great idea to write a book together. Was it fun?
It was brilliant and we are seriously thinking about doing it again. write about something else. It was hard work. It was a long sort of endeavour, but we're both very passionate about the subject and we did enjoy it.
And why are you both passionate about the subject? Why did you decide to write about him?
Different. I suppose we came at it from slightly different angles. We're both avid readers and we both like mystery and we both like history. And I think when Kira was growing up, I was always dragging the family around different places and, used to talk to them about, Jack the Ripper and Victorian London and so on. We live quite close to London, so we were frequently nipping in and out. And then Kira studied in London and she also worked for some time in the East End, and she carried out voluntary work all as part of her training for her chartership. And she found that some of the people that she was working with and helping to rehabilitate were actually victims of life in a very similar way to the female victims of Jack the Ripper. And we just continued to become interested. We just both read different books. We both shared our views. And in the end, we said, let's write about this. So that's how it all sort of started.
He is strange because he seems to fascinate everyone. I mean, there are tours, yeah. Jack the Ripper tours, there are books, there are programmes. Why do you think it is that it's one of the most well-known true crime stories?
Well, I think it's... it's the way that stories are created, the way that we as human beings communicate and understand our world and try to understand the world around us is through narrative and is through stories. And that was my particular angle that I was very interested in. Of course, the media was just beginning to develop as an industry and beginning to look at how stories can be used to sell newspapers. We're quite used to it in this day and age, but it was still in its infancy, perhaps, in that period of the Victorian times. So the story that perhaps, it's pretty horrific, and I think as human beings, we can't help but be fascinated by things that are grim, that we don't understand. And it's because it's unsolved, because we don't know who did it, we have a lot of clues, everybody's got different ideas, that we are continually, fascinated by this story that grows with every passing decade by what it seems,
Yeah, it's true. So who were the victims then? Is it true, because I know that this is a bit of an anomaly as well, is it true that they were all sex workers?
It's a really difficult thing to say. I know that there are people, the author, Harley Rubenhold, who says, hang on a second, prostitution. Can I say that on air?
Yes, you can. That's fine.
Is a really heavily laden term, and we would concur with that. I mean, it comes with so many connotations. And, the life of women in Victorian times was extremely difficult. If, as a woman, you did not have a male protector, your husband or your father or a brother, perhaps, you were outside of the role that society allocated to you. And women that were outside the role that society allocated to you were spurned in many ways. And it was extremely easy to point at somebody and say, she's not a wife, therefore she's a sex worker. But women had it really hard. I cannot say that they were not. I think there were some of them that were sex workers. I think all the victims at some point probably exchanged sexual favors for money, for protection, for food, for a bed for the night. But these were victims of their circumstances. And it was very easy, I think, to read the history and to listen to what was being said about the victims. And for many, many decades, it's been, Jack the Ripper killed prostitutes. And we took the view that actually Jack the Ripper killed women.
Yeah.
And whether the women were sex workers or not, they were women. They were mothers, daughters, sisters. So I'm not going to pin myself down and say she wasn't and she was and she wasn't and she was. They all had a very troubled existence. Sex working may have been part of it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I was watching a programme the other day on the Yorkshire Ripper, actually, and they were saying that the police back then, and bearing in mind it was only the sort of the 70s, 80s period, they were saying, you know, oh no, he's murdered an innocent person now. She wasn't a prostitute. Well, they're all innocent. They didn't deserve to be murdered.
Exactly. That's something that really came to us as we sort of read into it and researched and thought about it, that have attitudes moved on? Yes, of course they have in many ways. Society is different for women now, but some attitudes have never quite gone away. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had this huge outcry, recently with the Sarah Everard, killing, where women were having to go out into the street and saying, why cannot we walk through the streets at night, at any time of night or day? Why cannot we wear what we want to wear? Why are we made to feel that there is something about us that means we have got to be extra protected? Look at the attackers and make sure that the society is focusing on them. So that was something that particularly interested us, how times have moved on, but there are some circumstances that haven't changed that much.
Yeah. I mean, you are correct, because, you know, back then there wouldn't be a woman being a radio presenter, a writer, a forensic, they just wouldn't. And I suppose they had to get by. And if they had to use sex in order to get money, in order to eat or feed their family, then they would do.
Yeah, and we must also remember that perhaps they weren't, you know, walking the streets and looking for tricks or anything of the sort. They may well have been women who were in long-term or even short-term relationships with men, simply sharing a bed for the night, because that's the, you know, it's either that or the street. And a woman who did that for her own self-preservation and protection would have been considered a prostitute.
Yeah.
Even though perhaps in the way that we think about it, the victims weren't.
And, I mean, nowadays, as you quite rightly mentioned earlier, you know, there's media everywhere. We have computers, we have social media. Did the media of the time, indeed, was there any media of the time, you know, shape the way things happened as far as the police were concerned?
Yes, we think, we definitely feel that the media certainly influenced public thinking and public thought. The media had to sell newspapers. The Jack the Ripper murders, you know, these horrible murders were, you know, wonderful fodder for being able to sensationalise and keep the story moving. We found that newspapers were publishing letters, people were writing in with their opinions, they took different perspectives, and certainly some of the media was very critical of the way that the police handled the situation and handled the case. Of course, at the time, London was, you know, a tinderbox. A year before, there had been riots in Trafalgar Square. There were, you know, groups of immigrants from different parts of Europe, Ireland, Eastern Europe, and so on. And there was an awful lot of racism, a lot of prejudice. So it was, you know, the media was very quick to jump on that and use those difficult circumstances and those very divided opinions, to obviously run their businesses and sell newspapers. So, yes, to an extent, they were pretty influential. And, of course, communities in those days, we didn't have social media then, of course, but they were very close, and people would speak and they would commune together and they would get together, and people had very strong opinions, and there were demonstrations and there were letters to Queen Victoria, you know, do something about this. It was a very, very interesting period in history.
And did she do something about it?
She passed it to the Home Secretary, I imagine. Obviously, the Queen wasn't going to get directly involved. But Buckingham Palace did, you know, have a look at this and say, you know, we need to control what's going on out there. So there were changes made in the police force and so on. It was interesting.
Yeah. And as far as the police force were concerned, I mean, of course, it was sort of 150 years-ish ago. There was no DNA. It was entirely different. But do you think even with the resources that they had, the limited resources, the police didn't try hard enough?
You know, I'm not going to sit in judgment with what a police force or police officers in a particular point in history did or didn't do. I think probably there were miscommunications within the force, and I think that is probably as true today in any organisation as was then. And there were also, I think, perhaps problems of attitude. And we go back to the sex working, because I did wonder as I was doing some of my reading whether the had the victims been perhaps wealthier people in the West End, would the police have taken a different view or tackled things in a different way than they did, because these were prostitutes in the East End, according to the press. So I think prejudices perhaps had a little bit to do with the lack of thoroughness. Prejudices also in terms of what perpetrators they were looking for. So for a while they were looking for somebody who might resemble a Jew, whatever. You know, in those days they thought that resembled, or an Irish person, or an Eastern European. They were looking for people that perhaps weren't British, that weren't Londoners. They felt that this crime could only possibly have been committed by an outsider. And that was, you know, an angle that we looked at as well, about, you know, the Victorian view of otherness. You know?
Yeah. I read somewhere during my research that they thought he could be Polish. I don't know why.
Yes, one of the Eastern European immigrants that, you know, a lot of people had been rounded up and hounded out of Eastern Europe because of anti-Semitism in those countries. And there was an influx into London, and many came to live and work in East London. And, of course, you know, unfortunately, prejudices were, you know, as existent then as they are now.
Yeah. Was it easy to do your research, Jackie? Because I know there's so much out there, like I say, on the internet, but I know your book comes from a different angle. So how did you do your research?
I'm not going to say it was easy, because it wasn't. There was an awful lot of material, and we spent quite a few months sort of, you know, a little bit like, you know, walking along pathways that perhaps were giving us dead ends, or, you know, it could be a bit overwhelming. So we started, you know, once we sort of looked at everything that's out there, we started to think, you know, how are we going to pare this down? There's so much information. There's so much unreliable information as well, and we had to be able to sift through that. So Kira did an awful lot of work, because she was living and working in London for part of the time, and she was, you know, spending time looking at some of the, you know, original sources and going into archives and so on. And I was going through the more, the books and the, you know, opinions of other writers and so on, and sifting it through. And like I said, it was quite a long project. It took us some 5 or 6 years to do the research and get a manuscript put together. So it was hard, it was cumbersome, and sometimes it was a little bit, my God, you know, we're going up blind alleys here, what are we doing? But we got it together in the end, which is the important thing.
You did, and nothing worth doing is easy, I guess.
No.
So what do you think your next book will be? Can you tell us, or is it a secret?
Oh, do you know, I can't tell you, because we haven't quite decided. You know, we're not entirely sure. We are interested in crime, and we're interested in unsolved crime, but we're more interested in what these stories tell us about a particular place or particular time or particular groups of victims, like we were with Jack the Ripper. And, of course, with Kira being a forensic psychologist, she is particularly interested in the psychological element of it, whether it's, you know, what might a perpetrator be like, what would somebody be, you know, be like that we would look for, or, you know, what were the circumstances of the victims that made them victims, and that was a particularly interesting aspect of Myth Monster Murderer. And you know, I come from it from a slightly different, more investigative angle, so we haven't quite decided. We're not sure we're going to stick with crime. We might look at different other subjects, but I'm not going to give much more away than that.
That's fine. But do let us know, because I'm also interested in true crime. So do let us know, and we'll have you on again to talk about the next book.
Oh, that would be brilliant. Thank you.
But this particular book, we're selling it on our website, tre.radio. As Jackie said, it's called Myth, Monster, Murderer, and it's by Jackie Anderson and her daughter, Kira Wilde. Jackie, sorry, the spelling of it throws me every time I look at it. It's a beautiful, beautiful way of spelling it. You're in Gibraltar normally, aren't you? Do you any writing for anyone in Gibraltar?
Yes, I'm a freelance writer, and I do freelance publications. I had an article published in the Gibraltar Chronicle, which is our one of our big newspapers out there, recently. I also write for, you know, websites, content writing for different, you know, private organisations and companies. So, yes, I just I work in different places.
Great stuff. Well, I'm sure a lot of our Gibraltarian listeners will recognise your name. Jackie Anderson, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Selena. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.